Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. And we'll be reading, God willing, through verse 32. This is God's word. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus is going from place to place, and he's not only teaching, he's healing. Jesus is demonstrating the power of God in miraculous ways, and lives are being changed. This man with leprosy comes to Jesus because the word is already spreading, and he comes to Jesus, and he's covered with leprosy, and he fell with his face to the ground, and he begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." That's called faith. That's called faith. He didn't say, maybe you can help. He says, you can help. I know that you can make me clean. You can heal me. No doctor could. But he said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, stay back, stay back. You know that you're unclean. You're not supposed to get close to people. Just stay where you are, and I'll speak the word. No, Jesus did something that was absolutely astounding. He reached out his hand and touched the man. Jesus was not afraid to touch him. It was the first time in a long time that anybody had touched this man. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Luke was a physician. He could have left that detail out. The Holy Spirit inspired him to put it in because God is not afraid of your problems. He reached out his hand and touched the man and said, I am willing. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Okay, the leprosy hadn't left him when Jesus touched him. Jesus didn't say, yeah, I'm sorry, you're going to have to clean up before you can come to me. No. Jesus reached out and touched him in his sick condition. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest. Offer the sacrifices Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. The man did not obey Jesus. He went out and spread the word everywhere. The news spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Why? Because Jesus knew that he was utterly dependent upon the Father. And he said, the reason I can do the things I do is because I only do what the Father tells me. I don't make up the things that I'm saying. I tell you what the Father has told me. So, further illustration of that. One day as he was teaching, a whole bunch of religious leaders had come from all around to see what's going on. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. And some men come into the place where they are, that area, Jesus inside a house. The men come in carrying a guy who is quadriplegic, apparently. Not only couldn't walk, but I mean, if you can't walk, you might use crutches. But this guy couldn't do that. He was completely unable to get around on his own. And so they carry him on a mat, and they were going to bring him and put him in front of Jesus, and that wasn't possible because there were so many people. The place was crowded to the gills, and so they went up on the roof and took the roof tiles off and lowered the guy right in front of where Jesus was standing. Can you imagine that? Just try to picture the scene. But they were desperate to get their friend to Jesus. If you know somebody who needs Jesus, how desperate are you to get them there? Well, the man is lowered down right in front of Jesus and everybody can tell what's wrong with him. He's paralyzed. This guy had an obvious problem, but he also had a deeper problem. His deeper problem was that he was a sinner. How do we know that? Because he was a human. All of us have that problem. And Jesus doesn't just care about what's obvious. He cares about what's deep. And just as Jesus not only healed that man with leprosy physically, but also did something powerful on an emotional and relational level when he reached out and touched the man. In this situation, Jesus, seeing this guy on the mat, said to him, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Jesus said that, it says, in response to their faith, the friends who brought him. Can I believe for my friend's salvation? Yes, in a sense. You can begin to get from God the sense that he cares about that person even more than you do. And you can pray and pray and pray for that person. Ultimately, they have to come to Jesus. But you can help bring people to Jesus, very much longing for them to be saved. I've watched God answer the prayers of people who've prayed a long time for someone they loved to get saved. This fellow, Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." And when he said that, nothing happened that anybody could see. The guy didn't say, "Thank you," and jump up and run out of the room. He couldn't. He was still paralyzed. But something else began going on in the hearts and minds of these religious people who'd come to see what was happening. They began to think to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Today's main point is precisely that question. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, why is that true? Because God is the offended party. When we sin against God. When David committed adultery and murder, and then God brought him to repentance, his prayer, recorded for us in Psalms, includes a line that some of us find a little offensive. "Against thee, the only, have I sinned." Well, wait a minute, David. Let's don't minimize this. You didn't just sin against God. You sinned against Bathsheba. You sinned against her husband, Uriah. You sinned against other people, not just God. No comparison. That's the thing. Sinning against other people? Wrong. But God is the one who alone is perfect and holy, and therefore is the one that we need to be concerned with having offended. If you sin against me and really upset me, I can't send you to hell. God can. I know it's popular to say that God never sends anyone to hell. People choose that on their own. Well, there's a sense in which we do choose that. But there's a bunch of scripture that indicates God is going to say, "Depart from me." God is going to cast people into the lake of fire who insisted on taking the broad road when God called them to turn. So, all of us have sinned, and that is a serious problem because the wages of sin is death. The broad road doesn't just take longer. The broad road is the highway that leads to hell. And most people are on it, according to Jesus. Only God can forgive sin. Only God can forgive sin as it needs to be forgiven. That was this man's biggest problem. Because God is the offended party. He is holy. And whether other people are hurt or whether other people approve of what we're doing. It's what God thinks of it that matters. We're living in a culture right now where people are being told, oh, that's not sin. Oh no, that's not sin. I've heard people say about other things, you know, well, I know it was wrong, but if I had the chance to do it again, I'd do it all over again. Well, you're on the broad road. You see, if we think our way is better than God's, we're not headed toward Him. We need His forgiveness. We need His forgiveness. This man was then healed by Jesus. Why? Well, because Jesus is just such a softy, he couldn't stand to see somebody paralyzed. Jesus healed him physically in order that those who were there would know that Jesus had the authority to forgive sins. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus said, you need to know who the Son of Man is. In order that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, get up and walk. Why did he heal him? He healed him so that they would know who Jesus is. Verse 24. All these other miracles of healing, it was in order to reveal who Jesus is. Who is he? He is the great I Am. He is God Almighty come in the flesh. When we say that, Islam says it's blasphemy. Can't have it both ways. Either Jesus is God or he's not. Well, did he ever claim to be God? I've heard foolish people say that Jesus never claimed to be God. What book are you reading? Jesus repeatedly, in multiple ways, clearly claimed to be God. Before Abraham was, I am. Invoking the name of God for himself and claiming his preexistence. The people who were listening knew exactly what he meant, and that's why they tried to kill him. So, Jesus said to them, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Jesus knew what they were thinking. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on, and went home praising God, and everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. God showed up in that house and was teaching them and demonstrating who Jesus is. Now, after this, Jesus went out, and he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi, we know him as Matthew, sitting at his tax booth. So there's no question about who this guy is or what he does for a living. And that was about as low as you could go. If you're a tax collector in this culture, you are a traitor to your people. You are using the Roman military authority, the foreign oppressor, in order to get money from your fellow citizens. And you were absolutely hated. People didn't like paying taxes back then either. And Jesus saw this guy and said, follow me. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Do you remember what the fishermen did? They left everything and followed him. Whatever you're doing for a living, whatever is occupying your time and your energy and your imagination and your finances, you've got to be willing to leave everything to follow Jesus. Does that mean I can't work at another job for a living? No, it means whatever you're doing has to be yielded to him. And if he says, drop it, you drop it. So Matthew, Levi, got up, left everything, and followed him. And then, had a huge party at his house, and he invited his friends because he wanted to just have a party. He was a party animal. No. He wanted to introduce them to Jesus. That's the goal. You remember the fellows who brought the paralytic on the mat? Where were they taking him? Well, we thought he just needed some air. We just wanted to, you know, take him out. Is that what was going on? No. They wanted to bring him to Jesus. What does Matthew want to do for his friends? Bring him to Jesus. Can I still have a party at my house? Yeah, as long as Jesus is the guest of honor. As long as he's the one you're going to be introducing people to. Alan Emery in New England, when he was a high school senior, had grown up in an extremely wealthy family. And his dad said, hop in the car, I want to take you and show you something. He took him down to the bay there in Hingham, Massachusetts, and he pointed out on the water to an absolutely gorgeous new boat. Beautiful, beautiful sailboat. I mean, big sailboat. Don't picture a dinghy. It was like a yacht. And he said, what do you think of that? Alan said, I think that's the most beautiful boat I've ever seen. And his dad said, good, because it's yours. Alan was stunned. And his dad said, and now there is no reason why every member of the senior class at your high school should not hear the gospel this year. And Alan began inviting a few at a time to go out on the boat with him. And when he had his captive audience out there on the water, he shared the gospel with every single member of the senior class. You understand? Can you use wealth to spread the gospel? Absolutely. But you can't be ashamed of Jesus and spread the gospel. You can't be ashamed of Jesus and spread the gospel. So, Jesus goes to the party. Why? Well, because Jesus is a good time guy, you know? He liked doing party stuff. You know, don't get the idea that Jesus was a mean, stern, fuddy-duddy. No, Jesus was a party animal. No. Jesus was the same everywhere. Jesus was the same everywhere with everybody. Whether you were a leper or a paralytic or a tax collector, Jesus cared about these people. And so again, the religious people are offended by this, and they said to Jesus' disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Now you see, I said earlier that being paralyzed is an obvious problem. Being a sinner, not so obvious. Except for some people. There are some people where the sinner part is very obvious. You know, I mean, they do things that even other sinners think are outrageous. Paul talks to some of the folks in Corinth about that. He says, you have in your church someone who's engaged in a sin that even the Corinthians think is outrageous. Okay? I mean, sinners have their standards. We sinners do, don't we? Matthew and his friends violated the standards. They were despised by the other sinful people of that culture. And Jesus is now having a meal with them. And so when they asked the disciples, why do you do this? Jesus answered them. Please notice that. Jesus answered them. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Please understand this. This is one of the most important things at this time in the church. Jesus did not say, hey, what they're doing is okay. Don't call it sin. Who do you think you are? How dare you call them sinners? Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, they're sick, but I'm the doctor. Who do you expect me to be with? People who know they've got a problem have taken a step toward healing. Jesus did not say these people are healthy. Jesus said, these people are sick, and I'm the doctor. Jesus didn't come to the leper and say, stay away from me. Jesus didn't say to the guy who was lying there on the mat, I wish I could help, but there's just not that much that I can do. Jesus didn't say to Levi, I'm calling disciples right now, and, you know, I see a lot of potential in you, but I'm sorry, because of what you've done, selling out your fellow citizens, working for the Romans, I can't afford to be identified with you. I can't have you in my group. I've got another guy in the group who's a zealot. You know, they want to kill people like you. So we can't put you guys together in a group of 12. Maybe if we get to where we've got 1,000, we can let you attend. Now Jesus said, follow me. And Jesus is still doing that today, saying to people from all kinds of backgrounds, who've done all kinds of things, come, follow me. I hope you hear his voice. And I hope that you're willing to let go of everything else in order to follow him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.